The portion of scripture that we have read this evening, just two verses, I want to concentrate on these verses. Luke 22:31-32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Change these name, Simon, Simon, to Dharampal, Dharampal, or to your own name. As a Christian, when we come to the Lord, at some stage in our Christian walk with Christ, regardless of whatever time of life we come to the Lord, one thing is guaranteed for everybody, that the enemy will attack you in such a way to break you. Sometimes in our early part of our Christian walk of life, sometimes in the middle when we're doing something for God, or right at the very end when we think we're home free now and heaven is my destiny and we've got experience and knowledge and wisdom, spiritual wisdom, what happens? Bang, he comes. Satan does not like Christians. He doesn't like you. If you love the Lord, he does not like you. He hates you. He hates those people who walk with God. And he will try everything in his book to destroy your faith, because he doesn't want anybody to be saved. Imagine, if you will, the setting for this chapter. The upper chamber, the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples gathered together to have the last meal. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's given the disciples the Lord's table. And then what these disciples are doing, they're talking. Who's the greatest out of us? Who's the main one? Who's the great one? And I'm sure Simon Peter would have been one of the spokesmen. Look at me, I'm strong. You know, I've done this, I've done that. It's at that very time Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, Dharampal, Dharampal, behold, Satan has come to me and demanded that I give him to that I give you to him. Just like the enemy went to God and he said, give me Job. You think he's a righteous person? Give me Job. I'll show you what a righteous person is. I'm going to destroy him. God gave permission. Satan cannot do anything unless God gives him the permission. That is final. But here we see that God said to Jesus said to Simon, 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 the devil has asked me to give him to you so he can sift you. In the same manner as our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized, he was led into the wilderness, and the enemy sifted him there. He sifted God himself. But you know the one thing? Yeah, out of everything, there is a purpose for God to do what he does. God does not do anything without a purpose. If you're going through trials and tribulations now in your faith, if your faith is wavering, let me tell you one thing. Protect that faith. We can't protect it. But you know something? God gives even the weakest of his disciples, even the weakest of his believers, God gives them such a faith that even the old enemy himself starts shaking in his boots. Because he is no match for God. Out of these people talking, the disciples are talking. See, there's also Judas Iscariot there as well. Judas was sitting there as well. Jesus knew that Judas is going to betray me. But look at the love of our Savior. Simon Peter sitting there, and Judas is there as well. Judas, when he's sitting there, the Lord gave him a piece of bread. The Lord dipped it in his bowl, and he gave it to him. Here, Judas, eat with me. I know what you're going to do. Eat with me. And then he allowed the traitor to kiss him on the cheek. He allowed those lips to kiss the Son of God, to God himself. And all the time, what was going on in the mind of Judas was, I'm going to betray you for 30 pieces of silver. That's all he cared about. But yet the Lord was gracious to him. And Simon Peter sitting here saying, who's the greatest? They're all saying, who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. Lord, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be there. But the Lord is saying, Simon, you're talking big talk. But you know something? You have been chosen by the enemy to be sifted. Now, those of us who know about our Eastern countries, what is a sieve? Sieve is round and it's got holes in it, shandi. See holes in it. And what they do? They put the grain in there. When the wind is blowing slightly, they put the grain in there and they sift it like that. You know, like that. Sift it vigorously. And what happens? All the rubbish that is there, it flies out and the grain is left. But in that sifting, they touch each other, they interact with each other, and the dirt comes out. And it's not easy. Sometimes the grain falls on the ground from the sieve. But God says, not one of my children will fall to the ground, because I've got them in my hands. That God gives the weakest of his people the strength to face the enemy. But when the enemy, whenever he gets the opportunity, he will strike at the people's heart, at the believer. And in doing so, he tries to attack the one thing that we have, and that is our faith. And he will tell you all sorts of lies about our faith. All sorts of lies he will tell you. Because he does not want anybody to be going to heaven or to be perfect. But when the Lord gives permission to the enemy to save us, to sift us, he also says to us as well, like he said to Simon Peter, he said, but I have prayed for you. That was all that was needed. He said, but two things. Before is, the enemy has asked permission from me to sift you like wheat. He has permission from me to do what he wants to do with you, just like he said to Job. Even Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? What is there for you? God was a righteous man. Peter was a righteous man. Simon Peter was a righteous man. He used to be with the Lord himself. He said, your faith, yes, it is strong, but you know something? You will find out now what it is. And the beautiful thing is, when the Lord chooses us to be his own, he gives us his protection all around us. When we baptize people, they're immersed in the water. All of them are immersed in the water. We are immersed in the love of God. We are immersed in the waters. We are immersed in God's protection. And God protects each and every one of his children. The enemy knows he can't do anything, but he still tries to attack our faith. Because if the faith goes, there is nothing else left. Now, this is the point where the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. If you are just, we will live by faith. But the enemy, when he attacks, he says that he doesn't believe that God will defend his people. So when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and he walks along, then when the temptation comes, when the trials come, when disappointment comes, when we start doubting, when we start thinking, what's going to happen? Have I done the right thing? What have I left behind? When all these thoughts come into the mind, that's when the enemy is trying to strike. That is a time when the Lord, he gives us the shield of faith. The Lord gives us faith because we can hide ourselves in his promises. We can hide ourselves behind the shield. In the old days, when they used to go to war, they used to have big shields. And they used to have formation, and they would move forward, march forward with their shields up. The enemy will fire his fiery darts at the heart of the believer, because he knows that if I can shake their faith, they are gone. Then everything else is futile. And it is that faith that the Lord protects by his blood, by the word of God, by the shield of faith. That's what they say. It is the shield of faith which protects the believer's heart in which the Lord has done his work. That's why it says that look well after your faith, for it is the very head and the heart of your being before God. It is important for us, for each and every one of us, to be with one another, to strengthen one another. How do we strengthen our faith? Yes, by coming to church. Yes, that is strengthening of the faith. But how do we strengthen the faith? Is that when we encourage each other with the word of God, with prayer and with supplication. When the enemy sees unity within the church, he flees. Because the enemy will try to attack the believer singularly. But when there are a fellowship of God's people, and they're all together praying and reading the word of God, immersed in the word of God, then the enemy has got no chance. When the Lord gives permission to the enemy to sift somebody, to try somebody, like for example in the case of Job, the Lord said that yes, you can try him, you can test him, but you will not touch his soul. You will not kill him. You will not touch his soul. Here, the Lord said to Peter, you know, I have prayed for you because I know that you are going to be a great witness, a great disciple for me, even after my death, as you go along. And you know, when a believer, when he is serving the Lord, and he is doing something for the Lord, and lives are being saved, and people are coming to the Lord, and revival is there by the preaching of one simple poor pastor, people come to the Lord and they repent and they are added to God's family, then you know what happens? At that time, the enemy will try to stop that person. He will attack his faith. If our faith is strong, let us encourage others in our faith, with our faith. But if the faith is weak, we must come back to the one who gives us that faith. If you are strong, then yes, as a king, as a son of a king, come to the table of the Lord, come to God's table, and come and have fellowship with him. If your faith is weak, if you are questioning things, if you are questioning your faith, if you are going through trials and tribulations and you don't know what to do, still come to the table. You come as a dog, even if you have to, and sit at the table side and eat of the crumbs that falls off the master's table. But come to him, because for your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life. It cost him his blood. It cost him his own life. Willingly he gave it so that we could be saved. That is the price of the faith. And that is the one element that the enemy tries to attack. Once he's attacked your faith, once you become faithless, he will not become faithless. He will still be faithful. We can still go to him. Don't be under this misunderstanding that I can do it myself. The enemy is far, far more cunning, far, far more wiser than we can ever think. He's the old dragon, the old serpent. He's had centuries of experience in how to deceive people and how to stop people from following God. He's not new at this game. He knows what he's doing. But that's why Satan, he can't stand people who say we've got faith. He can't stand them. They're abhorrent to him. Abhorrent means he just can't stand them, because they are the ones who are God's people. It is obnoxious to him when he sees somebody strong in their faith and walking on before God and leading other people on as well. That is too much for him. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Simon Peter? What did he say to him? He says, he's asked permission from me to sift you. And I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Nothing worse than a person with a failed faith. That means our Savior is not worthy to keep us. He who keeps us in the palm of his hand, is he not worthy to? Can he not hold us in our faith? Of course he can. But the Lord wanted to teach Peter, don't be so confident. You don't know. You don't know that I have already prayed for you. A silent prayer in the Lord's heart, sitting at the table. The enemy was there as well. At that meeting, at that Lord's dinner, the enemy was there as well. The enemy was doing his work with Judas. Judas, now is the time, betray him. The Lord Jesus Christ did not pray for Judas, even though Judas kissed him on the cheek. You know, they say that when you show your respect to somebody, when you kiss somebody on the cheek, that means you are one with them. You love them. You love them. That's why you kiss them on the cheek. Sometimes, me and Brother Tirtha, when we meet each other, when we try to get close to each other, he'll kiss me on the cheek, or I'll kiss him on the cheek, just about. Because, you know, we're big guys, right? And we can't reach each other, but we try. And we pass it off as a joke, as a running joke. But you know something? I love him. I really love him because I've known him for nearly 45 years I've known him. I love my brother. But that kiss on the cheek means I respect you. I love you. You are mine. Vice versa. That's what the kiss means. But here the kiss was a kiss of betrayal. I kiss you, but you know something? I'm going to sell you for 30 pieces of silver. And then he went and went to the priest and said, this is what I've done. Okay, he's done. He sold his master. You know, often this has been the very thought of inspiration, that when we see in the courtyard that Peter is denying his Savior. Three times he denied him. And we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked at Peter. He looked at him. And I've often thought what that look would be like. What's the Lord looking? You know what the Lord is looking? Peter, you said, I will never deny you, but yet right now you have denied me three times. But you know what happened? When the Lord looked at Peter, he didn't stay there for very long. It said that he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and he wept bitterly. Even though his faith was nearly dead, meaning that he denied his Savior, even though he went and hid himself, but the Lord Jesus Christ, with that look so in his eyes, still a little glimpse, a little bit of faith left in there. It was not totally dead. If you have a coal fire, and the fire has gone out, but there's only a little bit of light there in the middle of the coal. If you slowly, if you blow on it or fan it with something, slowly, what happens? That little ember, then it ignites, then it goes. And then what happens? The fire starts again. Yeah? The fire starts again. So the fire that was going out suddenly reignites again. The look of the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, yes, I know you've denied me. I know that the enemy is doing his job in you. This is the sifting I was telling you about he's going to do. This is exactly what he said to me. That this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sift him. Your great Simon Peter, the great apostle, this guy, enemy said, I'm going to sift him. God said, go, make my day, do it. That same Simon Peter, when he was sifted, when he was broken, where do you go when you are broken? Really, when you've had something bad happen to you, really bad, somebody dies, something happens to you that brings that tear out of your eye. That tear, which nothing else could do. When that tear falls out of your eye, where do you go then? Where do you go? Jesus said to Simon Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. Simon Peter's faith was kept by God in God's hand. His faith was not his. And when his faith dwindled, when his faith went down, and when he was standing there and the Lord looked at him, he knew that, you know, I failed my master miserably. I failed him so much. How many times have we failed God? How many times have we failed him? Talk about me? I can't even count. But the beautiful thing is, God, even though our sins are many, the song we sing, even though our sins are many, yet his mercy is more. His mercy is more. It doesn't mean to say we keep on sinning, but his mercy is always there. Simon Peter, he denied his Savior in a public way, in front of everybody. All the people were there, and they were saying, "You were there with him? You were there? I don't know him. I don't know the man. I do not know that man. I do not know him." And yet, when the Lord looked at him, he couldn't keep it together. He was broken. But God said, "Yes, you are broken." Jesus said, "Yes, you are broken. But you know something? You're not out of the game yet. I still have got big plans for you." When Jesus said to him, "I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. I'm praying for you, yes, but I have prayed for you." The battle was already decided. The battle was already won even before Simon Peter was in the battle. If that was already decided, when Jesus prays for you, then you don't need anybody else's prayer. He is God. When Jesus Christ stands in front of his Father, God the Father, and he says to his Father, first of all, the Father accepts the Son. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his heavenly, you know, his holy attire, is standing before God the Father. And then he says to his Father, "Lord, I prayed for this person, for that person, for that person. I've prayed for that person. Lord, right now, this brother or this sister is going through so much, they're going to lose their faith, God. Lord, please help them, be with them." At that time, the prayers before God are answered. Jesus said, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Everything hangs on that faith. Everything hangs on the faith. If you lose your faith, you've lost everything. Pray. I mean, when we read about the servants in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the great warriors of faith, you know, Abraham, he left his country on the understanding of faith. All the mighty men of God, the shadow of the great witnesses that we are under, their faith, they went through the same trials and tribulations, but they kept on to their faith, hang on to their faith. We, more so in these days, when there's so much sin around us, we more so in these days need to preserve our faith. We need to have that faith, because the days and the times, they're evil. They're very evil. And we need to, that's why on the Wednesday night, we need to come together to pray. Don't think you can sit at home and be exempt from the enemy's fiery darts. No. This is where, like we're sitting here now, this is where God's blessing is. This is where we need to come and pray for one another. This is where we need to uphold each other. Oh Lord, my brother Shingara. Oh Lord, my sister so-and-so. Oh Lord, my brother so-and-so. Oh, for myself. We need to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, preserve our faith. Help us, Lord. Help us." Not sitting at home thinking, "Oh, it's okay. I don't feel like going to the Wednesday evening prayer meeting." Where is everybody today, by the way? Where is everybody this evening? Sitting at home? This is why they should be here. listening to God's word, where the Lord is doing, where the Lord is doing his work. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the best prayer he ever prayed for his people? What is the best prayer that Christ ever prayed? That their faith may fail not. God doesn't want our faith to fail. That's why the enemy, he has a run for his money. When we come before the Lord, the Lord said to Simon Peter, he says, so that once you have turned again, meaning come back to me again, then strengthen your brothers. When the Lord Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb, on the third day in the morning, resurrection morning, all the disciples ran by. Mary come and told them, they all ran to the tomb. But Simon Peter, he outran all of them. And he was the one who went inside first and saw the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was laid before, and he's risen again. His faith was restored. When he saw the risen Savior, his faith was restored. Praise God that he didn't give up on his faith. When we come before the Lord in prayer, let us be mindful of the fact that we are saved by grace and grace alone and nothing else. We are kept in the palm of his hand. And if one person, if one brother or sister is going through trials and tribulations today, today could be them, tomorrow it could be me. That's why we need to pray for one another. But one thing is certain is that our faith is kept, our faith is restored, our faith is kept in the hands of God. And when we travel in this life, no matter which stage we are at, for example, some believers who are old in their age and they are ready for heaven, for example, and they've had a life of service to the Lord, sometimes we find that even those old saints, even they get attacked at the last moment as well. But the Lord is gracious. So when the Lord, when the enemy comes to the Lord and asks permission to sift you and me, because we will be sifted, we will be put through the mill. Believe me, at some stage in our life, it will happen to us. Our faith will be tested. Our faith will be examined. At that time, remember the words that Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. And when you are strengthened, when you are turned again, you will strengthen your brothers. With these words, I will close. And with these words, I will beseech you that remember to pray one for another, because it is only by prayer that we are able to move forward in this life, in this spiritual life. We don't know when the enemy will come to attack. But one thing we do know is that we are surrounded by the shield of faith that God has given us. We are immersed in his blood. And God, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom he shed his life, he gave his life, he will not allow the enemy to snatch us away out of his hand. Praise be to God. Amen.